Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
Just past 4:30, the great John Edwards right here, right now with sports. John, how are you this weekend?
So far so good. How are you?
Very well. The Alouettes, if you're a CFL fan, starting tonight, and it looks like the weather will cooperate.
Yeah, I think they're going to get some help in that direction. They've got the Argos in tonight, so be a good early test to see where the team is and how they're looking for next year. They split a couple of preseason games against Ottawa, but ceases to be relevant the minute the game ends. So,
what's your feeling for the season to come?
I think they'll be in decent shape. I think the main issue is quarterback Alexander, if he's really ready to step up and be the number one.
Got you. One of my favorite John Edward lines ever. How do you make $1 million in the CFL?
Start with 10.
There you go. Aaron Rodgers finally signed in the NFL.
Oh, our long national nightmare is over, as has been suspected for, it feels like, about 2.5 years now. He's going to sign with Pittsburgh for a year, and I'm sure that's not going to go at all badly.
Now, what could go wrong there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I think that Aaron signing with the Steelers, it's an automatic Super Bowl victory.
We need Hard Knocks in there right now.
All right.
Streaming it.
The NBA, John, the rumors have Giannis going to the Raptors. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, I mean, it said there's, you know, the Raptors have interest in Giannis, and, you know, I also have interest in Claudia Schiffer. I don't think either of those things are going to happen, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, Giannis is pending free agent, and obviously if the Raptors could get him, then they would back up the Brinks truck to his house and get him in, but it's always difficult to imagine a scenario where Toronto is able to sign a top-level free agent. I don't think Giannis is any exception.
The money involved would be nuts. And would Giannis be interested in going to Toronto at all, do you think?
Well, that's the $64 million, probably $640 million question, is whether he wants to go. There's sort of the report I saw said there was some mutual interest. I don't know how much of that I believe. We'll see. I mean, big moves happen in the NBA, even though its system is geared to limit that somewhat. But I don't see it happening. But it's the NBA, so stranger stuff is going on.
Okay, so you're suggesting we do not bet the house at this stage.
No,
okay.
Maybe very small.
All right. In baseball, Seattle Mariners to retire number 51 twice this coming summer.
Ichiro this summer, he's going in the Hall of Fame next month, and then the Mariners will retire his jersey in August. And then Randy Johnson, who wore 51 for the Mariners before Ichiro, will have his jersey retired in 2026. Johnson asked to push his jersey retirement back a year so as not to take away from Ichiro's. But so they'll retire 51 twice, much like the Expos did with number 10 for Rusty Staub and Andre Dawson.
Is there a bigger Mariner fan anywhere than John Edwards?
Well, not within a few miles of here, I don't think.
Okay. Did you see the Marlins this week? Attendance? I don't know if they had 1,000 fans in the seats.
Yeah, I didn't see them, and neither did anybody else. I mean, I'm not saying the attendance is low there, but they decided it was easier to introduce the fans to the players.
Have a good one. We talk at 5:30.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Of course, there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
I'm on the rocky road, heading down off the mountain slope, and as my steps echo, echo louder than before, another day is done. Say goodbye to the setting sun. See what I found. Turn back to the ground, just like before. And hey, 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 beautiful day.
Hey,
hey, beautiful day. Beautiful day. When the night feels my soul, I'll be home into the undergrowth. Twist and turn on a lonely road in the twilight. Day turns to night, and I'm alone. And when the light has left, I'm not sure of my every step. Follow the wind that pushes me west, back to my bed. And hey, hey, hey,
hey,
hey, beautiful day. Beautiful day. Hey,
hey,
hey, beautiful day.
Hey,
hey, beautiful day. When the night feels my soul.
Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on the Friday Drive.
Mike McDevitt not available this week. Townships-based economic development expert Michel Ratti with us again. How are you on this fine Friday?
Daniel, summer has started, so I'm in heaven.
You and me both, tell you. All right, let's start with something that touches just about every Canadian. The Bank of Canada interest rate decision. After months of speculation, they finally made their move. Michel, the central bank's language was cautious but clear. Are we finally seeing the start of a rate-cutting cycle?
Not sure, Daniel, that I'd put it that way. A small while back, it was 5% where we were. And the bank, since last June, reduced the interest rate 12 times to its current 2.75%. Now, we're faced with a context which explains why our friend Tiff McClem decided to, and the board, they decided to keep it at 2.75%. Unemployment is up across Canada, 6.9%, 6% in Quebec. Tariffs, my friend, keep inducing the rise of input costs for our manufacturers. We have layoffs. We even have layoffs on one side and labor shortages again, other economic pressures, strikes. The level of uncertainty is quite high, and even our dollars has been taking a hit over the last month. So the bank, I think, wisely chose to keep things as they are. Lowering it would have been fun. Could have reduced the unemployment, stimulate consumer demand before summer, consumer spending, help the housing market. But again, inflation, more so on food and energy, but also shelter, clothing, household, related goods, core inflation, not the headline one that we see in the news, but the core one in our consumer price index is at 3%. It's still at 3%. A lot of analysts are saying unemployment may rise past 7% in the next quarter. GDP growth and investments are flat. Consumer credit is going. We have deficits at the federal and provincial levels. They're going to cut expenses. It's going to hit people. So I guess the governor of the Bank of Canada and the board decided to batter down a few sails to face some potential headwinds. And I think this was wise of them to have done so.
All right. This week, Michel, steel and aluminum are back in the spotlight. Don't know if that's what we really wanted. It's tensions again flaring between Canada and the U.S. over the so-called taco dispute. We all know what that means. Washington is once again playing hardball and Ottawa is bristling. Are we in for another round of trade skirmishes?
A lot of issues. This was quite a week. I don't know if you started this week and saying and thinking this was going to be a slow one, but it wasn't. It was kind of a rock and roll one. Our taco friend in the South didn't like the label of the journalists of the Financial Times. Robert Armstrong came out in the beginning of May, and he decided to take his revenge. Maybe yes, maybe no, but he sure moved something against the European Union and us. And that was the doubling of tariffs on steel and aluminum, with dire consequences on the Canadian economy, on Ontario and Quebec's economy, and even on the American economy. And why do I say this? Steel is Ontario. That's has the largest size of the steel manufacturing, the prime steel manufacturing pie in Canada. 83,000 jobs in the steel sector. 63,000 are in Ontario, and they contribute $12 billion in our GDP out of 15. Quebec is a distant second in steel, but Quebec is more an aluminum producing province. It's less human capital intensive, 30,000 jobs, still generates over $12 billion in contribution in GDP. There are 9 smelters across Canada and 1 is out in BC, but the major component that goes into manufacturing aluminum is electricity. And our smelters, as well as in BC, they have it cheap, where the Americans depend 60% of their imports of aluminum and 23% of steel come from us. So our impact is going to be on the job size, layoffs, and even this paralyzes our steel and aluminum market. But in the United States, the sticker prices of cars can rise quickly this summer by $4,000 to $6,000. Canned food and beverages, our beer, my friend, costs are going to climb, and the products that use aluminum cans are going to cost more. Houses, appliances, everything is going to increase. This will cause in the States a small uptick in inflation, going to have a huge impact on jobs. And in February, when tariffs were at 25%, they were all thumping their chest in the United States, saying they were creating jobs in the steel mill and in the aluminum sector. But for every 1,000 steel mill job that they created, they wiped out 75,000 manufacturing jobs that couldn't pay the heavier cost of these inputs for whatever they manufacture in the United States. But yesterday, we all heard that President Trump and Prime Minister Carney have been speaking directly to each other. What has come out in the Globe and Mail is that they aim to arrive at an agreement before the G7 meeting on June 15th out west. But if that agreement is something like what we saw with the UK, which was more show than substance, that won't be too good. But we need to see where all of this is going to lead us. But there's a silver lining to this dark cloud.
Mark Carney met with the Canadian premiers this week, Michel. When Carney is in the room with a lineup of provincial leaders, political watchers start reading tea leaves. Is this just a high-profile briefing, or should we see it as another step in Carney's political ambitions?
It goes beyond simply ambitions. I think Carney has a clear strategy. First and foremost, bringing all these premiers together and have them discuss in a meeting some very important subjects, critical subjects, created some optimism. Look, we saw Danielle Smith smile, and she had not smiled for probably 2 years now. Doug Ford was humming "Love Is in the Air," Daniel. There was a lot of one-on-ones between provinces. Even Quebec decided to announce that it was going to present a bill to reduce cross-Canada barriers. So this can be quite positive. The IMF in recent times, the International Monetary Monetary Fund came out with a report and said that if Canada could, the provinces could reduce barriers, they could add as much as 4% to our own GDP. Trade barriers also exposed us as being potential hypocrites because we've been complaining about Trump tariffs, but we weren't facilitating trade between ourselves. So I think this is an urgent thing. Yesterday, the Montreal Economic Institute came out with a recent report that said that cost of these barriers is exceeds $210 billion a year and $35 billion alone between Quebec and Ontario. So there's something to be had there. I think everyone is determined to fix this issue after so many decades. If it's part of the ambitious plan of the premier, I think we're all on track, or they are all on track, to make sure that it's going to succeed.
Very quickly to end this, Michel, Ukrainians pulled off a drone operation that had been a year and a half in the making, and this destroyed about a third of the Russian jet fleet deep inside the country. Boy, is that going to make a great movie one day.
Yeah, invasion of the drones. They turned out to be so industrious when the Americans have turned their back on them. They said, look, we're going to still continue to do stuff by ourselves and succeed in fighting off and resisting. This was an event that they planned for 18 months. They sent drones out through a cloak and dagger type way close to the bases in Siberia and were able to destroy some key airplanes. Hopefully, there's not going to be a revenge which will be bloody against the Ukrainians following Putin's comment to Trump, apparently, that he is going to exact revenge exactly on the poor Ukrainians.
Right. Couple of headlines here locally as well. The feminicide hits you even more when it's locally. And retired Senator Pierre-Hugues Boisvenu has asked the Parole Board of Canada to keep his daughter's killer, Hugo Bernier, in jail, saying his potential release chills me to the bone, that for an offender to be released, the risk must be zero. You have to agree with him.
Yeah, I won't extend any comments on that. I think he said it as best. A sad story, Daniel. This is a sad story, and I think we have to agree that some key components tied to releasing these dangerous individuals that are criminals, by the way, must be reviewed.
Yeah. Finally, Marc Garneau passing away at the age of 76, cancer taking him.
Yeah, this was a surprise. A real Canadian hero, first Canadian to go into space. He was a scientist. He went on 3 space shuttle missions. He headed the Canadian Space Agency. He was a member of parliament. He represented Westmount for quite a while and served as Minister of Foreign Affairs and Minister of Transport. So a brilliant man, a real Canadian hero. And I think everybody was this week was sad. A lot of members of the opposition who rubbed elbows with him recognized how great individual he was.
In for Michael McDevitt this week, Michel Ratier, an economic development expert from the townships. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the weekend, and we speak next week.
Yeah, good weekend to you, Daniel. Thanks.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
You belong to me.
time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Time for Taylor McClure. Taylor reports from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. Hey, Taylor, how are you?
Hi, Daniel. I'm a bit tired today, but I'm not doing so bad. I hope that you're doing well.
Doing very well. My understanding is you've had a big week covering press conferences and being all over the place.
Yeah, the life of a journalist. But hey, I love it, so I can't complain too much.
There's nothing like it. Let's talk about a couple of things and start with the new measures for the 2025 boating season.
Yeah, so for the 2025 boating season, the town of Brome Lake is implementing some new measures and resources for citizens and visitors. So first off, residents can now create a citizen account on the town of Brome Lake's new online portal. And by creating this account, citizens can submit requests related to obtaining the boat stickers that they need when going out on the lake. And then their sticker can be sent by mail. So other services will eventually be added to the citizen portal in the future, making them more accessible. So the goal with this online portal was really all about making things more convenient for citizens by not having to go to the town hall. They can literally just order the boat sticker that they need right online and have it shipped right to their door. The next measure for residents is that for the first time this year, all boats, which include motorized and non-motorized watercraft, which include paddleboards and kayaks, must have an individual sticker. If you're a citizen and you have a motorized boat, and then on that boat you have a kayak that you want to take out on the lake, both watercrafts have to have a sticker. All applications for these stickers must be made online on the citizen portal by June 15th, 2025. After this date, tickets may be issued for non-compliance if you do not have your sticker when going out on the lake. For non-residents and visitors to the area, they will have to go through the wash station that is set up in Brome Lake. I will get to that in a minute, and have the wash certificate issued by the station on board when boating on Brome Lake. A great segue into the next measure, which the town has actually purchased a new wash station, which is now a self-service, accessible at all times, relocated to 704 Lakeside Road next to the Tourism Welcome Center. So residents can request free access for the washing station when applying for their sticker. Non-residents will be charged a $20 fee for washing motorized boats. For non-motorized watercraft, such as kayaks or paddleboards, the wash station will remain free for both residents and visitors. A patrol will be on Lake Brome to ensure that people comply to these measures, and fines can be given out if they do not do so. The town is really encouraging citizens and visitors to comply with these new measures. These measures were actually implemented to help avoid bringing invasive species into Lake Brome and to maintain the health of the lake. Visitors are coming from other parts of the province and their boat has been in water bodies out that way. If they do not wash it, it can actually bring species that we don't find here in Lake Brome, and it can really affect the health and the quality of the water. So these are some of the new measures that the municipality is implementing this year as the summer season is getting set to kick off here.
When I called you for this today, you said, hey, we're going to talk about the rugby club. And I said, there was a rugby club in Brome Lake? And you said, yeah, the Ducks, they've been around forever. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so the Brome Lake Ducks Rugby Club, for those who aren't aware, there is a club. There's a men's team, and there's also been women's teams in the past. I do not believe there's a women's teams this year, but there have been teams in the past. I was actually a former Duck. So they're actually celebrating their 40th anniversary this year, and they're hosting a special event taking place on Saturday at the Lions Park for former alumni and members of the local community. So I had the chance to actually speak with Chris Severs, who is one of the founding members behind the club, which dates back to 1985. And he was just chatting with us a little bit about what the club has contributed to community life here in Brome Lake. And he highlighted the fact that, like Brome Fair, like the former Glen Mountain, like Canada Day, the Brome Lake Ducks Rugby Club and the game of rugby itself brings the community together to connect, socialize, and celebrate. They're quite popular here in our local community. There's a lot of people that turn out to their games. He also noted that what makes Brome Lake Ducks Rugby Club special is that a lot of the time you have brothers, sisters, cousins, friends, all playing together on one team. So it's not abnormal to see two brothers or sisters hitting the field together at the same time. In a celebration of this special milestone, an event is being held at the Lions Park, like I mentioned, this weekend on June 7th, where two rugby games will be taking place, one being an old man's game, which are teams of players 40 and over that will see former alumni like Chris participating. There will also be another game with the present rugby club, followed by a Mishwee meal. So they are welcoming everyone down to the park on the afternoon of June 7th in support of the club and how far it has come along over these last 40 years. For those who didn't know there was a club here, well, now you know.
Thank you so much for giving me the information. That is so cool.
Taylor McClure is here every week. She's also heard on CIDI-FM. Daily News Bits, by the way, can be heard on CIDI991.com/website. Taylor, enjoy the beautiful weather, and we talk next week.
Thank you so much, Daniel. Have a great day.
Downshift's Friday night weather, cloudy, a 70% chance of showers tonight, low 15. Tomorrow, cloudy, 70% chance of showers, high 23. Saturday night, clouds, chance of showers. Sunday, sunny, 24, long range Monday, sunshine, and a high of 26 degrees. Ed Humphrey comes in just after 5 o'clock with people, places, and things to do in the townships. 5:10 interview of the week, Trevor McKinvin from the Piggery. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Patnode. All on the Friday Drive at CIDI 99.1 FM and CJMQ 88.9 FM.